这里是希望之声网上时针英语节目。
Welcome to Jewels from the Internet. My name is Debbie, and I'm really glad to be here with you today. I hope that you will learn some new English words by listening to my program.We have set up Jewels from the Internet so that you can listen to some English, and we also hope that you will be able to put together new sentences, and you'll learn new words, and the spellings of new words, and also the meanings of new words. So I hope that during this next half hour, you will be able to come away with the feeling that, yes, I do know a little more English just by listening to my program.Well, we're working in a book 12 already. And you know, we put all the stories that we do on the air, we put them into little booklets so that you can actually own the booklet if you choose to. I have had lots of letters writing to me asking for the booklets so that they have their own copy of the stories. That way, if you want to read them through again and again and put the meanings of the words down beside them,That way you'll be able to remember and you'll have some good reading material besides. So all you have to do is write to me and ask for the booklets and I will be glad to send them to you. At the end of the program today, I will give you some addresses. One will be a mailing address. Another will be a fax number. And the third will be an email address so that you have a choice of which way you want to write me a letter. And I will get back to you, I promise. It may take a few weeks because I'm behind on my letter writing. I've done some, but I came to work today and guess what? I had 5 new letters on my desk. And I was really excited because I love to get mail. You know, my son has started to do some stamp collecting. So I'm looking for stamps on some of the letters, just in case there are some stamps from countries he does not have. So thank you for writing me letters. I do enjoy them and I will answer you back. Like I said, we're working in book 12 already. I was so used to saying book 11 that I almost forgot. But we're working in book 12 and the story number is 401. 401. This is a story by a famous person that did a lot of writing throughout her life. And this is just one little article that she wrote. And it's called, If I Had My Life to Live Over. It makes us stop and reflect or think about what we would do differently if we could live our lives over again. I'm going to read the story to you now.And then I will go back and I will go through each line and pick out words that maybe you don't know. And I hope that we will be able to learn some new words together. Let me read it to you now. If I had my life to live over. I would have invited friends over to dinner even if the carpet was stained and the sofa faded.I would have eaten the popcorn in the good living room and worried much less about the dirt when someone wanted to light a fire in the fireplace. I would have taken the time to listen to my grandfather ramble about his youth. I would never have insisted the car windows be rolled up on a summer day,because my hair had just been teased and sprayed. I would have burned the pink candle sculpted like a rose before it melted in storage. I would have sat on the lawn with my children and not worried about grass stains. I would have cried and laughed less while watching television,and more while watching life. I would have gone to bed when I was sick instead of pretending the earth would go into a holding pattern if I wasn't there for that day. I would never have bought anything just because it was practical, wouldn't show soil, or was guaranteed to last a lifetime. Instead of wishing away 9 months of pregnancy, I'd have cherished every moment, realizing that the wonderment growing inside me was the only chance in life to assist God in a miracle. When my kids kissed me impetuously, I would never have said, "Later, now go get washed up for dinner." There would have been more "I love yous" and more "I'm sorries," but mostly, given another shot at life, I would seize every minute, look at it and really see it, live it, and never give it back. Those are wise words, aren't they? Something that probably all of us can relate to. I know when I read this the first time, I thought of all sorts of little stories for each one of those scenarios or one of those little things that she has given us opportunity to think about. Well, let's go back through and we'll see if we can find some words, and maybe I'll share some of my stories with you. If I had my life to live over. You know, that's one of the things that we can think about and say, I wish I would have done something. Or I wish I could. Now it's too late. But this is things that we've all done in our past. Well, the first one said, I would have invited friends over to dinner. When you invite somebody, it means that you ask them to come to visit you. I'm sure all of you have been asked to come to visit somebody. Maybe you have a special birthday or a special anniversary or even just a special festival or a special holiday, and you like to get together with some of your friends or your relatives. And sometimes if they do it at your house, then you will have invited people over. Now, dinner here is considered a meal. And I'm not sure what the words are that we use in the Chinese language when you're having a meal. You know, yesterday happened to be my daughter's birthday, and her friends invited me to go along when they took her out for lunch. That's a meal, isn't it? Dinner time is usually in the evening for the supper meal. So they invited me to come with them. And you know, I've learned that in the culture here in Hong Kong, when you go out to eat, it's a long experience. You don't go and have something that will take 20 minutes. You go and you sit and you visit and you talk and you do a lot of eating. And I was amazed at how much food we ate yesterday. But yet, it was over a long period of time. So they invited me, or they asked me to come with them. Let me spell invited for you. I-N-V-I-T-E-D. That means to ask. Okay? Now the rest of that sentence said, I would have invited friends over to dinner, even if the carpet was stained and the sofa faded. Well, you know, sometimes we have furniture, or we have a house that maybe is not exactly like we'd like it. And sometimes there are spots on the carpet, if we have a carpet, because things get dropped, don't they? And if you have children or animals, there are spots on the carpet. And that's what it means here by stained. The carpet is stained. It has spots on it. There's dirty marks on it. That's what stained would be. S-T-A-I-N-E-D, stained. Now, lots of times we have wood floors here in Hong Kong. Hardwood floors are beautiful, but sometimes you might have an area carpet or an area rug, just maybe in front of the television or down a hallway or right when you get out of bed so you don't have to step on a cold floor. So that's what the carpet is. Carpet is something to cover the floor, either from wall to wall or in areas. Carpet, C-A-R-P-E-T. Now, it also says here the sofa is faded. Well, you know, I've had furniture that I've had for, well, I just recently got rid of it when I moved, but I had furniture that I had for over 10 years. And it was in wonderful shape, but if it sits in a window and the sun comes in, it does get faded. So I'm sure one or two of my pieces of furniture had been faded just a little bit. It means it's not as bright as it was. Maybe the colors aren't as bright as it was when you first bought it. Maybe because you've sat on a sofa being something you sit on, a couch or a Chesterfield, it might be just because you've sat on it a lot. And when you rub against it, it makes the color come off just a little bit. So faded would mean that it's not quite as brightly colored as it once was. Let me spell sofa for you. S-O-F-A. And faded, F-A-D-E-D. Well, the next one was kind of interesting, too. I would have eaten popcorn in the good living room. Do you know, in North America, the houses there are quite large. And I'm sure that they have large apartments here in Hong Kong, too. My apartment isn't very large, so I only have one real sitting area or a living room. Now, in North America, there is usually a formal living room. That means it's hardly ever used. It always looks nice. You have furniture in it, and you might have pictures in it and vases and artwork, but you only go in there if you're having a formal party. Now, the living room that everybody lives in would be the one where you spend most of your time. You have your television, you have your stereo, you might have your dining room table. It's where you live the most, so it's called a living room. But here it says, I would have eaten popcorn in the good living room. That means that this lady that wrote it would have taken and eaten in the one that never gets used, in the room that never gets used. And I know that some people will never take anything to drink or to eat into that formal dining room. They don't want to get the carpet stained. So that's why there's two different ways to say living room here. The good living room is the formal one. So I would have eaten the popcorn in the good living room and worried much less about the dirt when someone wanted to light a fire in the fireplace. To worry is to be anxious, isn't it? If you worry, you're anxious or you're fearful that something would happen. Let me spell worried for you. W-O-R-R-I-E-D, worried. Let me spell anxious and fearful also. Anxious, A-N-X-I-O-U-S, anxious. And fearful, F-E-A-R, F-U-L, fearful. Well, of course, dirt is what you track in when you come in from outside. It could be how messy your house is. It could be, let me think, if you have anybody eating somewhere, they might drop some crumbs. And that would cause dirt, wouldn't it? So dirt. Now, it says, dirt when someone wanted to light a fire in the fireplace. If any of you have had a fireplace in your home, you'll know that sometimes the smoke comes out of the fireplace. It doesn't go up the chimney or out. It might come back into your room, and then that'll cause dirt on your furniture, won't it? Now, a fireplace is where you burn things or burn wood in your home to keep it warm. Lots of times, fireplaces are put in homes just as a showpiece, not really to keep it warm, but just to have a nice warmth around it. Because if you've ever had an opportunity to be outside around a fire, you know that it's cozy and warm to stand around a fire, isn't it? It makes you feel like it's comforting almost. I have a funny story about a fireplace in a house where I lived when I was a teenager. And my sister was graduating from high school. And lots of relatives came. And you know, this was a new house for us. My dad had built it, and we had just moved in, and it had a wonderful fireplace. But none of us had ever really used the fireplace. So my brother, who came from a long ways away, and my sister, they said, "Let's make a fire here." And my parents were gone, so we couldn't ask them. But you know, my brother was an adult. I was a teenager, and he was an adult and married. And so we said, "Sure, let's make a fire here." Well, usually in a house, at least in Canada, there's something called a damper above, inside the fireplace. And what it is, it's a tin plate that comes down and covers the hole where the fire would go up, or the smoke would go up. And we have that there because in the wintertime, it's very, very cold in Canada. And that hole would allow cold air to come into your house. So if you shut that, then the cold air is kept out. Well, we didn't realize that the damper, or this metal sheet, was covering the hole. So we started a fire in our fireplace, and all of a sudden the smoke started coming into the room where we were, and we couldn't stop the fire, and we couldn't find where the damper was so that we could make it open. So there we were with this fire roaring in our fireplace, but yet all the smoke from the fire was coming into the house. Well, we opened all the windows and all the doors, and we hoped our parents didn't come home very soon. But of course, when they came home, they said, we smell a fire. Because fires always smell, don't they? You can tell when there's a fire. And we had to confess, we had to tell them that yes, we had put a fire on in the fireplace, but we got smoke throughout the house. So that's a funny little story about a fireplace. Let me spell that for you. FireplaceWell, let's go on, or we're never going to finish this short little article. I would have taken the time to listen to my grandfather ramble about his youth. Oh, I hope each one of us has a chance to do this. You know, take the time. Make sure you have some time to spend it with your grandparents, the older people in your family. Because they like to ramble. That means they like to talk about. They go on and on and on. Have you ever been in a place where an older person has said, "When I was young, I remember when"? I've done that. In fact, I'm not that old, but yet I've done that to my children. I've said, "Well, I remember when I was a teenager." So I'm starting to ramble or go on and on about my youth. Now, youth is when you were young, right? Youth. Y-O-U-T-H. And I'm going to spell ramble for you, too, because that may be a word that you've never heard before. Ramble. R-A-M-B-L-E. That means that you go on and on and on. You talk about something forever. You don't ever want to stop talking about it. It might be just your favorite car. And I know some boys and men that love to talk about their cars. And so this grandfather may have talked about his car when he was a young person. And he may have had many, many cars since, but he remembers that first car when he was very young. So that's what to ramble means. R-A-M-B-L-E. Well, the next one says, I would never have insisted the car windows be rolled up on a summer day. Insisted. That means demanded. You know, I've been like that because once I've fixed my hair, I really don't like to have the wind blow it all over the place. And maybe women are kind of like that. I think maybe most of us are. And so I have insisted or demanded of my children to roll up the window in the car. Because I want to stay looking good. I don't want to have my hair blowing everywhere. And that's what it says here. I would never have insisted or demanded the car windows be rolled up. That means they're closed, aren't they? On a summer day, because my hair had just been teased and sprayed. Well, women do a lot of things with their hair, don't they? To tease the hair means that they backcomb it, or they take a comb and they try to put knots in their hair, or What else can I say besides knots? They try to make it messy so that it will stay a little bit farther off their head. I know I don't have much hair. My hair is very, very thin and very, very fine. It's not coarse, so it has a hard time unless it just hangs. And I don't like it to just hang, so sometimes I have to tease it. I take a comb and I comb it backwards instead of the normal way. And that way it would be teased. Now, most ladies like to use hairspray to keep their hair in place. And it's just a spray out of a bottle that kind of puts a lacquer or puts a finish on your hair so it doesn't move. It's almost like painting something on sometimes. So that's what it means here by, I would have insisted the car windows be rolled up on a summer day because my hair has just been teased and sprayed. Let me spell insisted for you. I-N-S-I-S-T-E-D. Insisted. I'm also going to spell demanded. D-E-M-A-N-D-E-D. Demanded. Now let me spell teased for you. T-E-A-S-E-D. Now, we're talking about hair being teased. So that means it's combed backwards or it's been knots put into it. Now, that's not the same as having you tease a child. It's spelled the same, but it has a different meaning. To tease a child would be to go up and say, oh, you are such a cute little girl. And that would maybe be a little teasing to the child. They might think, oh, I don't like to be told that. And that would be teasing a child. So it's the same spelling, but two very different meanings. T-E-A-S-E-D. Now let me also spell sprayed for you. S-P-R-A-Y-E-D. Sprayed. The next one says, I would have burned the pink candle sculpted like a rose before it melted in storage. Do you have candles in your house? You know, I used to love beautiful candles, and I've got quite a few candles and candle holders. I brought many of them with me, and I love candles, and I have a lot that are scented. They smell really nice. Well, here they had a candle that was pink, but it was sculpted like a rose. To sculpt something is to make it in the shape of something. Okay, so when it was soft, when that wax was soft, they molded it into the shape of a rose. They sculpted it. S-C-U-L-P-T-E-D. Sculpted. That's a hard one to say and a hard one to spell. So let me try it again for you. S-C-U-L-P-T-E-D. Sculpted. Well, lots of the times we keep those special sculpted roses or sculpted candles because we really don't want to burn them. They're too pretty, aren't they? But yet, you know what? If we put them in storage, that may be in a closet or in a box somewhere, and it gets too hot, they could melt. Candles really have to have it very, very, very hot before they will melt. But I know I've had some candles that have melted, and then I'm going, why didn't I burn this candle? Because now I can't. It's all melted. So if it's melted, it gets out of shape, doesn't it? So if it's sculpted into the shape of something and it melts, it changes its shape and it doesn't have that same beautiful, maybe it was a rose. So it doesn't look the same anymore. So it was melted if we put it in storage. Melted. M-E-L-T-E-D. Storage is spelled S-T-O-R-A-G-E. Well, let's see if we can do one more before our time is up. I would have sat on the lawn with my children and not worried about grass stains. Now, a lawn is usually around the house. Outside, it's the green grass that's growing. So that's what a lawn would be, L-A-W-N, lawn. And not worried. Remember we had worried earlier? It was to be fearful or anxious, worried. Now, a grass stain is usually if you've run and then you've fallen down and you might rub your knee or rub your pants on the grass. There's a green stain that comes onto your clothing. And that's what it means by getting grass stains. They're very, very hard to get out when you try to wash your clothes. Grass stains. G-R-A-S-S, grass, and stains, S-T-A-I-N-S. Well, looking at my clock, I find out that I'm really short on time, so I'll have to finish this on our next program. But I did promise that I would give you some addresses, so let me do that quickly. Put down to Debbie at GPO Box 7600, Hong Kong. That's my mailing address. GPO Box 7600, Hong Kong. My email address is zhaomang@vohc.com. Let me spell that for you. Zhao Mang. Zhaoming at vohc.com. I told you I had a fax number, so let me give it very quickly to you. 852-2457-6019. I've got to go, so bye for now.
谢谢您收听今天的网上时针英语节目。如果听众朋友想跟我们取得联系，您可以直接发电子邮件给我，我是艾德，我的电子邮件地址是艾德，也就是汉语拼音的 A-I-D-E 艾德 at vohc.cn。 谢谢您今天的收听，再见。